Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here. On this week's podcast, I've asked my friend Karen Keg to help me talk to you a little bit about some of the changes that are coming to my animal communications course and some of the new exciting things we have coming up. I realized that this year I just have three main priorities: animal communication, getting my book written, getting my course updated, and getting elected for the Green Party, and then a little special project that I'm doing on the side and some renovations. So maybe four or five priorities, which is nothing for me. This is getting things really together. But thanks so much for being here today, Karen. And
thank you for inviting me. I love talking about animal anything. And you are the expert on that. So I have lots of questions for you.
I don't know if I'm the expert. I've seen how animals respond to you and they just love you. And I've never met anybody else who fed a banana to a cockroach. And I witnessed that. So I know you are super kind. And even as we speak, my pet spider is above my head here. And it's really cold outside. It's often spiders in the house. I will relocate to outdoors. I don't feel bad about it, but it's just too cold. And I feel that she's there. She was right over my head. Now she's just moved a little further over. So I see her.
She's there to help with the bug management indoors while you've got their little ecosystem indoors.
Keeping the ecosystem indoors, and actually to remind me to write, because when a spider shows up, it reminds you to write.
That's right.
Well, thank you for being here, Karen. I just wanted to let people know some of the things that I've got coming up in March. I have a really fun Karuna Reiki class coming up, March 11 to 13 and 18 to 20th. We're breaking it up into 4 and 5 hour segments so that we can teach it in a time zone that works in Asia and Europe. And it might work for Australia, might be a little late, finishes at 11 p.m. for most of our Asian friends, those in Hong Kong and mainland China. But so it would finish at 2 a.m. if you're in Australia, but it would be a really lovely time zone if you are in Europe. And if you want to get up super early and get started at 7 a.m. Atlantic time, 6 a.m. Eastern, and just spend the morning in classes, we'd love to have you join Ken Locke and I for his Karuna Reiki co-teach. I'll be teaching early mornings, and then again, in May, I'll have a Karuna class in the regular time zone. Animal communication. I know a lot of you listening want to know about that. I have a level 1 and 2 class coming up March 23rd and 24th, and my first ever level 3 professional practitioner course coming up March 25th. And I do know that sometime either in June, July, or September, I will be developing this into a teacher course so that I can then teach people to teach. I also want to send an invitation out to any of my previous animal communicators. The course has really been developing over the last year. There are attunements now, there are invocations that release obstacles. Anybody who has studied it before, and it's a 2-day class. I know a long time ago, years ago, I used to try to cram it all into one day and I'd make people stay there till 10 o'clock at night almost, but from 9 a.m, nice 12-hour class. Now we do spread level 1 and 2 over 2 days, but there is a lot more to it. And so if you want to do an update and before moving into that professional practitioner course, if you feel you could use a refresher, you're welcome to join the update in March at half fee. So go ahead and do that. And also for animal communicators and animal communication, I have got a course coming up in the Asian time zone, which will be taught in English, but then translated into Korean, Cantonese, and Mandarin. So if you speak any of those languages proficiently or English, and want to join us, that's July 12th to 14th. And if you're just wondering about it, we will be doing an introduction to the course on June 4th, along with all of those translations. It'll be our chance to test our translation ahead of time. Also in April and May, I have level 1 and 2 and master courses in person and online, animal Reiki 1 and 2 and masters in person and online here at the farm. And May 3rd to 5th, there's another animal communication class coming only in person because it's in conjunction with the Northeast Reiki Retreat in Silver Bay, New York. Would love to have you join us for the class, but also think about coming to the retreat. It's a wonderful way to reconnect. In addition to my animal communication for Reiki practitioners course, there is Tracy Sullivan's going to be there teaching a licensed level 1 and 2 class. Carolyn Musiel will be there teaching a licensed master class. And William Rand will be there teaching a licensed Karuna Reiki master class. So we would just love to have you join us. I also, in April and May have, oh, I guess I've just covered that. In July, we do have some whale classes coming up in Campobello, both Reiki level 1 and 2 and masters and animal 1 and 2 and masters. And on the Tuesday evening between those classes, because those run from a Monday to a Friday, we go whale watching for both groups. And we send Reiki out to the whales of Campobello. And for those of you listening, last year, after we taught our master class there, the very almost extinct, the very, very endangered North Atlantic right whale showed up just a couple of days after the master class, the animal Reiki master class finished. There were 4 whales that they had not been in our bay for 4 years. And they felt that it was the warming of the bay that caused the specific phytoplankton that they eat to go away. And yet for some reason, after that masterclass, they came back. So please think about, if you really want an adventure, join us in Campobello. It's just off the coast of Maine. Can be a little tricky to get to this island. If you do decide to come, spend a few extra days. This is the summer home of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. There is an international park and miles of hiking trails, miles of beaches everywhere, sea glass, you name it, and probably the friendliest people I have ever met, aside from Karen and some of my Reiki colleagues. So just tons of stuff going on at the farm. And I almost forgot to mention, but June 16th to 21st, I'm going to be participating in a wonderful Open to Peace event at Omega Institute, where if peace, bringing peace to the world, is something you are thinking about, is something that's important to you, there are some wonderful presenters. Myself, Avalon, Heather, we'll do a podcast on this in a month or so, just to let you know a little bit more about it, but look it up. There's a link in this podcast to it. Would love to have you join us. And then immediately after the Open to Peace conference at Omega Institute is the Wisdom of Reiki conference that following weekend. The Open to Peace is through the week, and the Wisdom of Reiki conference The following weekend, June 21st to 23rd, we're going to be there on the solstice together. I know that's important for you, Karen. Myself, William Rand, Colleen Benelli, Brett Bevel, and more presenters will be at this Wisdom of Reiki conference. And William Rand will also be teaching a Karuna Reiki class there at Omega following the conference. So lots and lots to think about. Sorry, Karen, there's just so much going on right
So much going on.
What about you? What do you have for listeners? We've got
I think
some
the easiest thing is just people go to reiki-institute.com and you can find my schedule there. I'm teaching animal reiki classes in February, April, like alternate months, and then I teach regular Reiki 1 and 2 and Master on the other months, and then I'm teaching Karuna in April and Karuna in July, and that's as far out as I've got it scheduled. People are wanting to come to Ecuador for a Karuna class, so I think that may be coming up in the fall.
Oh, Karen, that's so exciting. And you've been investigating the possibility of having some retreats down there
Retreats,
too.
In fact, I'm going this weekend. I'll be going up to Intag to check out. It's Cloud Forest to see how, what kind of sacred lands there are there that we might want to visit. So,
I'm definitely going to try to get there. And yeah, and we'll be, you and I talk every month at least, sometimes more than once a month. So we'll be letting people know as those develop for sure.
absolutely.
Thank
But
you. Well, guys, I'm just going to invite everybody to move into Reiki for a moment by bringing your hands into Gassho and just activating your Reiki energy, holding the intention of just learning more about connecting with animals today. And we'll be doing an experience at the end of our day to take you into that. I'm just imagining the different animals in your life and sending Reiki to them, allowing them to send energy and love right back to you. And this transcends the veil of the living. So we can send Reiki to any of your deceased animal loved ones as well. And just feeling the love as it comes back to you. And just opening yourself up to the possibility that you may already be communicating with them, but it might look different than what you expect, or sound different, or feel different. Certainly, we can connect and communicate with them through energy. But just opening your heart right now in connection with them, opening your heart and reaching the light of your heart out to the light of their hearts. And just knowing that this is how we connect and communicate with our animal friends. Taking a moment of appreciation and gratitude for their presence in our lives as they take a moment, likely in gratitude for your presence in theirs. When an animal has been in our life, it's because we have had a divine contract and they sometimes cycle back to us. Just being open to that possibility and open to the possibility that Reiki may naturally open your abilities to connect with animals and listen to them, hear them. And just allowing Reiki to make those adjustments. And we use the mental emotional symbol if you have that. Right now, sending that into that heart connection you've just made with your animals today. The mental emotional symbol or the emotional balance symbol is the one that can facilitate interspecies communication. So, just taking a moment to appreciate those animals in your life and the divine animal kingdom as a whole and all that they bring to our lives. We are so blessed to be of this lineage of light bringers connected to the animals and connected to the earth. Aho and namaste.
Well, Pam, I'm ready to do a deep dive into animal communication. So I think the first question people may have is, have you always been able to talk to animals, or how did it start? Or
No, I've always had a special connection with animals. I remember even as a child, my father, some we I grew up every weekend, spending every weekend at my grandparents' dairy farm. They had a couple hundred head of Holstein cattle. They also had switch and cows are just, I love cows. I love everything about them. That's what I studied in university, basically. And then they had my grandfather had Belgian draft horses, which love horses. I love everything about them. I've always loved them. He had some beautiful pigs, chickens, cats, just all of the farm animals. There was a pond in the back. And so it was a really wonderful way to grow up connected with animals. And there were dogs there, although my grandmother was a neat freak and wouldn't allow them in the house. So they lived over at my aunt and uncle's house next door. And then we had our own dog, which was allowed in her house when we visited. We were a little spoiled, I think. My father was the youngest. But I can remember with the horses, just working with the horses from a very young age. And sometimes there would be a horse that it was a little more difficult to work with that maybe the other children couldn't work with. And they would, I can remember my father saying, "Give that horse to Pam, she'll figure it out." So there always was this some sort of ability, but it certainly wasn't the type of communication that I do today. It was just a love and a connection and an understanding. And then, fortunately, with Reiki, that has expanded into communication fairly recently.
So, what made you decide to create a course, an animal communication course?
When I got Reiki, my intuition began to expand, as it often does for people. And I went to this really powerful course, horse course. And I was really just trying to become a better horse trainer because at that point I had a horse business. I have my own farm, my own cats, my own dogs, my own chickens and guinea hens, and so on. And I had a few horses. In fact, for those of you watching on YouTube, the horse's eye behind me, that's Honey's eye. And she was one that I just couldn't reach, no matter how hard I tried. And I really was committed to trying to reach her. And I was very successful in training most horses, but I knew I could become better. That course, it did make me a much better horse trainer, but only because it helped me understand the energetic aspects of horses, and it opened animal communication for me, which was a huge breakthrough. It wasn't at all what I thought it was, animal communication. It wasn't like a conversation like this. It was very different. But once it was open, Honey knew we began communicating. I'm not going to say it was effortless because it wasn't. And I'm not going to say she had only sweet words for me because she had some very tough love for me, actually. And sometimes you don't want to hear what they have to say, but it will make you better. And I did become a better horse trainer, but I started offering, it was a very special, very spiritual horse course. I started offering it, and Karen, people started being able to hear the horses after it. And like during the course, in the same way that I had done. And I wasn't startled by this. I thought, of course, that was natural. I think everybody has an ability. Everybody has an ability to hear animals. And but then this lady, Marjorie, is so sweet. And she found out that she called me up and she said, "I hear that people can hear animals after they do your weekend horse course." And I said, "That's true." And she said, "Here's the thing. We don't like horses, we like cats, but I've got 10 ladies who want to learn animal communication and we want you to teach us." And I said, "No, I'm not going to, but you're welcome. But we don't want all the spiritual mumbo jumbo and the horse stuff. We just want you to teach us to communicate with animals." And so I said, "No." And she said, "I'm going to leave you my phone number in case you change your mind." And as soon as I hung up, and this would have been back in 2010.
Wow.
As soon as I hung up about 14 years ago, Source or Reiki tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You can totally teach them that," and showed me how I would alter the agenda. And my horse course was very intensive. People camped here and We worked for 3 full days. It showed me how I could condense it. And anyway, so I called her back, and those first 10 ladies, I think actually 11 showed up, came, and I taught the course. And then other people heard of it and wanted the class. So at first, it was very kind of organic. People would reach out, and I would put them on a list. And when I had a bunch of people, I would offer a course. And back then, even though I'm a marketer, I wasn't very good at marketing. And eventually it became so popular, I started move crossing the country and going into the US to teach animal communication. And then it just continued to become more popular, and it continued to evolve. And about a year ago, as I was teaching the course, even though it was continually evolving, a year ago, I got the message, okay, now this is going further, and you're going to create additional courses. Like the animal communication class was more or less how to hear animals and how to verify your work and how to get good at it. Now I got a message that I was to take the course and turn it into first the level 3 professional practitioner course, like how to become a professional practitioner, how to run an actual session for others, because I've been a professional practitioner since that horse course first opened my ability in 2009. As soon as people know you can communicate with animals, people reach out all over the place and want some help. And so the course has got really nicely developed. It's not where I
Could you go
want.
into that a little? Could you tell us
Yeah.
a little about what do you do in the level one and two, and then what, how
Absolutely.
Reiki fits in, or you know, like all of that? Yeah.
Oh, 100%. So a year ago, when it began to evolve, a couple of things happened. A few years ago, one of my students pointed out, I thought it was all the theory and all the unlearning that I took people through that was helping them get the ability to hear the animals. And one of my students said, "Pam, I don't think it's the theory. I think by the time we spend the whole day with you," because it was the whole couple of days with you, after a couple of days with you, because we would only practice at the end. There's a lot of unlearning that has to happen before you practice. And she said, "I think it's all the time we spend on you that your gift is rubbing off onto us." And she really made me think about it, because I wouldn't have had that original thought. But as an empath, I know truth when I hear it, and it sounded true. And I remember that when Yasui Sensei first came down from the mountain, that's how people received his enlightenment. So I thought, oh gosh, I think she's pointing out something really important here. And I had to ponder it for a while. And then about a year ago, when the course said that it was evolving, Reiki had been, at first, this course had nothing to do with Reiki. I was offering it to anyone, but I couldn't help but notice that people who had at least level 2 Reiki were getting more from it. Like they would have more ability at the end of the course. And when Holy Fire Reiki showed up in 2014, and I didn't study it till 2015. So from 2015 forward, Holy Fire began integrating itself more and more in the class, as far as it experiences to release the barriers and so on. And the class got more and more effective. Like initially, about half of my students could really clearly hear them. The other half, I would at least teach them to douse so they could get yes and no answers. At least they knew how it worked, but they still sometimes had some more blocks and barriers to work on. And as more and more Holy Fire wove into the class and more Reiki, and then so I would start, because it wasn't always Reiki practitioners there, by saying, "By the way, Holy Fire Reiki is going to be here. If you don't want it to be, it won't be. It's here to help you release your barriers if you want it to be." And I would use it throughout the entire class. The class got more effective. But about a year ago, the energy showed me, okay, now you need to do actual attunements, and it will get more effective still. And so I did begin doing attunements, and it did get much more effective still. And so that's been the evolvement. But in level 1 and 2, I think our course is a little different than some, because I'm completely self-taught. It's just me and the animals in Reiki. That's where it came from. I never went to a formal course. I had read books and stuff, and I had taken pre-recorded courses, but I didn't get anything at all until I really came about this way of doing things. And what people tell me about our course, it is structured. There is an unlearning. There is a pointing out of where you're going to make mistakes. There are things that get in the way, like judgment, ego, expectation, projections, our own injuries and trauma. And so it's actually very important to release those and heal those. And we do that in an experience in the class to get a clearer channel. Because I've met lots of people that can communicate with animals, but I find that they're not always as accurate as they could be. They think they're accurate because they are definitely getting communication, but the communication always comes through our filter. So if our filter is dirty, smudge, if we've got cataract, if we've got our own injuries and issues and trauma and expectations, we're going to interpret what the animal is saying incorrectly. So I've really spent a lot of time making sure that we can get very clear and then verify. That's the other thing we do really differently. I teach people to douse so that they have a tool to be able to say, did I understand that correctly? And then we go through, okay, if you didn't, and you won't always understand things correctly, I still make mistakes. And I always verify and I always go back and say, okay, which part of that didn't I understand correctly? Which part was I projecting or was my filter getting in the way? So I really spend a lot of time walking people through that so that they can make sure that their communication is very pure and accurate. And then we do that verification. But we also talk about some of the ethics around animal communication, which I know not everybody does, because I've had people go ahead and communicate with my animals without my permission or without. And it's important to remember that if an animal is with a caretaker, they have a divine contract, and it's important to have the caregiver's permission as well as the animal's permission. I've had people communicate with the animals without their permission and different things like that. And sometimes people don't understand the pitfalls of trying to communicate with lost animals. Sometimes people don't understand what they should and shouldn't communicate about. Like, you should never communicate with an animal about something you don't have the ability to impact. So if you're saying, are you happy with the space that you have? If there's not, if there's not another space available, don't talk about that. It's very disrespectful to talk about some of these things that you can't have an impact on. If you want to talk to a whale about if they're happy in their space, if there's not something going on that's going to free the whale or something, or if you don't have the ability to do that, don't have that discussion. Yeah. So we can just go through all the ins and outs of it. It's a wonderful class. I hope, I don't have this ready yet, but I hope in the very near future that I'll have a chance to write a workbook for it. And then the professional practitioner class is going to take people forward as to, okay, you've been practicing now for a while as an animal communicator, or you will be practicing. What does a professional session look like? And then there's going to be quite a bit of practice time in that class where people can work with their peers and really hone that ability and develop their own style. I'll be talking about my style, but giving some options and possibilities for how they might want to run their sessions. And there'll be a client intake form and things like that, and discussion around what to charge and different ways of doing the session. And there'll be a Q&A section, and people will get an opportunity to communicate with my horses as well if they, yeah, and my horses will help them. It's going to be fun. Karen, I just, sorry, you didn't even ask this, but I have to mention it. Recently, Tracy Sullivan, last year at the Northeast Reiki retreat, she used my human design. She used yours too as an example for others. And I sat there listening, going, that makes so much sense why Karen Kagan and I are friends and why we love working together so much. But one of the things she said is, with from her background in human design, is that we are moving into becoming, I think she said we're nine center beings, but we're moving into being 11 center beings. And part of that human design has predicted that this is what we're in the process of moving into in the very near future. Yeah, maybe you probably know more about this than I
No,
do.
but yeah, go ahead. This is exciting.
And she said part of being an 11-centered being is an ability to communicate with animals. That basically human design has said and predicted that animal communication is coming as part of this evolution for us as humans. And I think we evolved into nine-centered beings from seven. I might be getting this wrong, but it's something like this, back in the 1400s or something around the age of, perhaps in 1400 or 1500, so around the age of enlightenment. And her theory was, she said, I think Pam's already there as
Moving there.
an
Yeah, you're there.
11-centered being, and she's pulling the rest of us
Just
along
along.
with her with this
Yeah,
vibration.
you've always been a way shower. And sometimes your teachers are dragging you along and you're like, no, I'm not ready. But I think that you are a shower that way. So yeah, I think we're moving from like linear mental thinking to more or communication. Which is ironic because that's what I did for 30 years was an English professor, but that's it doesn't communicate enough, and so we're moving to more like telepathic sort of communication or heart-centered communication, and animals can teach us that. But so now I'm curious because I haven't taken your course yet, but I know Reiki does clears away those obstacles. I love how you talked about that, and that explains perfectly why people do suddenly start developing abilities. Or that we're probably there. We just covered them all up.
We
But
covered them over.
how does the communication, what does it look like for someone who doesn't communicate with animals if it's not that linear? Are they like talking to you? Hey, Pam, how's it going? Is it a conversation or how does communication, what does it look like? Is it,
What does it look like? And see, that's what we go through in class because it's different for everyone. It depends on what your ability is. And so we talk about the different clairs. Like some people get pictures and have to figure it out from that. If you're clairvoyant, if you're clairaudient, it does sound like a conversation, but I'm not clairaudient, so it doesn't sound like a conversation for me. Some people just have a knowing, so it's how to figure out how that knowing works
You
you
hear.
and how you hear it or understand it, how you interpret it, if they're claircognizant. People who are clairsentient or clairempaths might get feeling. And usually we have some combination of those. So we actually go through what those all are and help you identify what you are. And so what it might look like for you. And it's going to be different, like I said, for everyone. Now, that being said, then every animal's different. So even though I don't tend to be clairvoyant, typically animals communicate with me through claircognizance, knowing, and then eventually Reiki opened up my ability to see a picture. So I put those two things together, just this knowing and feeling, and also clairempathy. So I put the three things together. I used to just have the knowing and the empathy, and it was really difficult to put it together until I started getting the picture. And I did have clairsentience. Like if an animal wasn't well, I would feel their unwellness in my body. And that was hard, actually. And I actually asked Reiki to change that. I said, is there an easier way that I can find out what's going on. And that's when the clairsentience went away and was replaced by clairvoyance. So I toggle between those three when I communicate with animals. And then you have to interpret it. And it comes through your filter. So it's really important to understand what could be congesting your filter. And we do a lot of work to clear that filter in the class. And we also spend some time talking about heart walls, because you talked about that mental linear. Animal communication is not mental linear, and it doesn't even happen in the mind. So even though we call it it's a telepathic style of communication, and we get actual information. So this goes beyond the energy exchange that we receive in Reiki. This is, we get actual telepathic information. However, it comes through the heart space. So if you have a heart wall for any reason, which a lot of sensitive people do, most sensitive people do, then we talk about how to recognize it, and we do some work to let that go. So it's really a fantastic class, Karen, of
Sounds like it.
opening up to your intuition. And so it's, in addition to animal communication, you usually hear start hearing source better. You usually start hearing your guides better, like all of it. And you really understand how you hear and then how to interpret that into words. So it's so much fun. I love
Yeah,
it.
it sounds like a perfect course for anyone who's on a spiritual journey, not just if you wanted to communicate with animals, because that's a big part of anybody's spiritual journey, I think. The animals have a lot to teach us. That's what we learn in animal Reiki. And so anyone who's wanting to just open up and increase their abilities, this would be a wonderful course. And
Yeah,
it's like helping the animals is a side benefit.
it is. And I'm very blessed with all the animals that I've been able to provide assistance. And many times it's more the caregiver that I assist than the animal. A lot of times the animal knows what's going on, but the caregiver doesn't. For instance, a lot of people contact me when it's getting close to the time. And the animal kind of clarifies for us, no, give me another month or two, or yeah, I've been hanging on a lot longer than I wanted to. And usually has, I'm getting shivers as I tell you this, the animal usually has a farewell message for the human. Sometimes the animals are coming back. They sometimes let the person know, look for me, our work isn't done yet, I'm coming back. And sometimes, sadly, they're like, no, our work, we did complete our work, I'm so proud of you, but I'm not coming back, I'm going. So it can be a really heartwarming time. And I know recently I did a couple of events where the fundraising events with Animal Communication, which was so much fun, where I did talk about the whole death and dying process. And we raised, I think, over $900 for the Fredericton SPCA and over $600 or $700 for a Christmas kibble program, or in a community not too far from me. So it's exciting to, it's so nice to be able to give back to the
Yeah,
animal.
wonderful. I know that we're going to have a little bit shorter podcast today, so there's one thing I want to be sure to ask you about, because I'd heard that your book won runner up in a Hay House contest, and I would like to know more about that and what's going on after. Where are you going to go from there?
Where am I
What's
going from
happening next?
there? You know what? I decided to write an animal communication book, and I've been working on it. So I submitted my proposal to Hay House, and I completely missed that I won runner up the first email that came out. I was very busy. It looked like it might be in a snap election. And I said, oh, I guess they didn't like that book. Maybe I'll try a new book the
You
next
didn't even
time.
open it.
I didn't even open it. I opened it, but I didn't see my name as a winner. And I just went delete. Oh, delete. And a month later, they reached out and said, congratulations on being a runner up. You didn't get a book contract this time, but we loved your proposal. And here's some suggestions, because we would like you to submit it again in April in a contest that they have in April. And they actually completely changed the direction of it, which makes me so happy. And it's going to change the direction of my course as well. They said, look, you're all about Reiki. This is, you're trying to make this course generic. Don't. We want to see you take it as far as you can take it in the Reiki realm. and we're very interested. And I don't know, there's no guarantee. I won't necessarily become a Hay House author, but I have a good feeling. And I actually am going to rebrand my animal communication class. I used to always say, you don't need Reiki, but Reiki helps. And I've just been noticing that everybody who's showing up lately has Reiki, and that allows me to teach at a higher level. I don't have
We've
to.
already been clearing. We've been clearing
You've
that.
already been clearing. You already
That makes
understand how
sense.
the energetic component, and you're not resistant to the Reiki energy that I'm using in the class to help expand your abilities. You understand how the attunement process works.
Yeah.
Lately, 100% of my class, I've got a class coming up that there's one person who doesn't have Reiki. I think she'll be fine. But typically,
One of my Reiki students is in your class that's coming up. Like, you're
this
just
weekend.
so excited.
Oh, thank you. That's fantastic. But I am going to rebrand it. It's going to be Animal Communication for Reiki Practitioners. I'm
Wow.
really happy I didn't have a lot of the book written when I sent the first proposal because I don't have to go back to the. I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't come. And it's
That's
because
why.
I need it's that's why I need to do this specifically for Reiki. And I'm really excited about it. In the past, I've said, you don't have to have Reiki, but it helps. And now we'll go right into it. So it's really
Awesome.
exciting.
Do you have any final thoughts or final bits of advice that you would like to leave listeners with? Anybody who may be interested in animal communication or how it would work with Reiki or?
Yes, I'm going to say this. You probably already are communicating, and your animals understand everything you think and feel and emote and understand and know. So don't try to lie to them. Be authentic. And I think that the other thing that might be important is to just look and see if you do have any, just being aware of those blocks and barriers. You probably are already communicating with them. You just don't understand what that looks like, or maybe it looks different from what you expect. And so if you really want to develop that further, join me, or just pay attention and see what you notice. And if you'd like to dive into the ethics and what to do, what not to do, just understand that your animal understands everything. Tell them if you're leaving, tell them I'm going here and I'll be back at this time. And you'll get an intuition if your animal, some animals really understand time, some don't. Some you might have to say, I'll be back in three sleeps, or I'll be back in six food dishes. You know, usually understand food. And every animal's different. So even though I usually think, know, feel, see, once in a while, I'll get an animal that it sounds a little more like a conversation. So just being open, open your heart and being open to do that. And if we have a few minutes, Karen, I'm just going to lead people on a really quick exercise with a heart wall. Okay.
Oh,
And
that's great.
just to know if you have a heart wall. So, first of all, if you're connected with your intuition, you could just say, do I have a heart wall? Is there anything blocking my communication? And just get a sense whether you get a yes or no. But if you're maybe not as intuitive, that's okay. Here's a really clear way to know if you have a heart wall that would block you. And it is, do people frequently misunderstand you when you communicate with them? Because it not only gets a heart wall, not only gets in the way and blocks communication with animals and interspecies, but it also blocks communication within your species as well. So, do you often mean one thing, but people hear another, or are you often misunderstood? If you are, please be aware that you may have a heart wall. And heart walls can exist in some situations and not in others, too. Like you may have a heart wall with a specific person or a specific animal, and it's always going to block your communication. So I think we're just going to go into a really brief meditation just to verify if you have a heart wall and sending an intention to allow Reiki to begin releasing it for you if you do. It is okay if you have a heart wall to release it in degrees. You might find that releasing it all at once would be too intense. It's okay. Reiki can release it slowly for you. So, just taking a minute to close your eyes and place your hands in Gassho. And then place your hands on your heart. Just asking yourself, is there a heart wall or a block or barrier that would prevent people from understanding the love and intention that I'm intending to communicate? And if there is, just forming an intention now to beginning to release the heart wall. Whether it exists all the time, or even if it exists just in certain circumstances or with certain people, it's always going to get in the way of clear communication. And so just sending the mental, emotional, or the emotional balance symbol into your heart, as well as any other Reiki symbols that you may have. Just inviting it to begin clearing your heart for you at a pace that's right, the heart wall, and clearing any injuries to your heart as well. And just allowing that to happen at the pace that's right for you. Understanding that Reiki will never cause harm. And it's only here to help you exist in ever more energies of love and peace and understanding. Peace, love, and understanding, I realize, just came through. And so we allow the process to unfold, knowing that it will unfold at the pace that's right for you. And as we do, you can reach out like we did in the invocation earlier, making heart connections with animals with their permission. And just knowing that this might lead to even more communication and information. And so it is, and it is done. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam, and thank you for sharing a little bit about your new courses. This is exciting. I can't wait to take the course, and I'm looking forward to the book and sharing it with my students and all the people who are looking to expand their awareness about themselves and the world and the animals that live here and our place in it. So.
Thank you, Karen. You're probably going to be editing this book, so as a partial payment, please join whichever classes you can fit in.
That's great. Yeah, I will edit your book because you're a good writer.
Thank
Thanks.
you.
You're
I'm
easy to
getting better
read.
too. And I'm feeling so confident now that Hay House has, I don't know, I feel
Yes.
like I am going to be a Hay House editor or author one of
Author.
these
Yeah, I
days,
think you are.
whether it's this time or the next. I really feel I'm on my way to becoming a Hay House author.
Yeah, I think so. Among other things, you've got
Among
so much
other
going on.
things.
And thank you. Thank you for all you do for the Reiki community, for the ICRT, for the animals, and now for Canada. It's like onward and upward. You got politics and yeah, you're
We're
definitely.
canvassing for the first time today, Karen. Wish us luck.
Yeah.
I hope it goes well. I really am excited to meet the people, my constituents, the people in my region, my riding, and
It just hit me. I think that's what's going to make you such a good politician because politicians have to listen. And that's what you've been doing. You've been learning to listen and tear down
Oh,
your heart wall.
you
It's all
just
been working
gave me
toward that.
shivers.
Yeah.
And communication is listening more than it is talking.
Yep.
It
I'll be
is
done.
listening. Wow. Oh, thank you, Karen. That's
You're
beautiful.
welcome.
And I can't help but think that everything that I'm committed to this year is making Reiki move more into the limelight and be more mainstream. You know,
Mainstream.
it occurs to me that if animal communication for Reiki practitioners is a book published by the largest spiritual book publisher in the world, Hay House, how much is that going to expand the reach of how many more animal lovers are then going to be open to Reiki and maybe animal Reiki and just like animal Reiki? It's so exciting. And even politics.
Absolutely.
I'm going to be running Reiki every political thing I do. So it'll be so fun.
Yep.
Thank you, Karen. I love
Thank
talking with
you.
you. And thank you so much to the listeners for being here. We appreciate you. Keep shining your light brightly in the world. It's making a difference. Namaste.